One of the current trends in developmental psychology is the study of adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, and their impact on lifelong health and well-being of a child. ACEs are traumatic events that occur during childhood, such as abuse, neglect, and household dysfunction. Researchers are exploring how ACE can affect a physical and mental health outcome later on in life, and how interventions can mediate or mitigate their effects. Another trend for the study of the role of genetics and how that interplay in epigenetics and the developmental status of one being, that includes how genetics or genes itself overlap or interact or overface with environmental factors. In fact, how it shapes the behavior of a human and its personality. We have done much research here as well, Connect. And today we're going to focus a little bit around technology and how technology have had a major impact on the development of a child's cognitive function and the development themselves. How technology also plays a significant role in development. We're going to turn to psychology research, applied science and psychology to be exact. With the use of virtual reality and other innovative tools to study how cognitive behavior and social development and social determinants of health finally all encompass in one, what allows us to grow our interests as humans, and how that interest is rooted in the fundamental culture that we partake in, our simple beliefs of who we are and who we can be. Cross-cultural research to understand how culture shapes the differences that can be addressed through policy and other interventions such as therapies. Our ethics in America plays a crucial part in how that development of our young youth and children and their ACEs allow them to grow as fruitful and as productive citizens of the United States of America. Understand, ethics play a crucial role in development. Applied psychology and science, especially in those who are vulnerable, allows us to take a peek into population health. And that starts, as we all know, mortality and morality rates of pregnant women, particularly that of the most vulnerable, women of ethnic backgrounds, such as brown and black maternal mothers in this country. As a researcher, I am battling. I am standing up to the powers to be and tell them enough is enough. The pregnant women in this country and the citizens in this country, the senior citizens in this country deserve the right to live. As a researcher, I and myself and my team have ensured that the studies that we conduct cause no harm. Our women and our children should be protected. Developmental culture should be the funding cornerstone of how we address the care for our pediatric students and our pediatric patients in our healthcare system. Simply said, that the stress that children are experiencing in this country post-COVID-19, knowing that technology has single-handedly contributed to that distress, psychological distress, is appalling. There are many groups out here supporting the psychological abuse and emotional abuse of our children. When are we going to implement interventions? When are we going to stand up against those who employ the fact that we do not need to regulate the science and the social media that we see today in front of us? We use the technology. It is science. We should govern science to be used for good and not harm. I'm telling you, this is absolutely an ethical issue, and we must obtain the proper policies to inform consent our consumers of our entertainment, including social media. Additionally, as a researcher, I understand the potential of the impact that it has on the population and the well-being. Therefore, good ethics and protocols start with good policies. It starts with good policies, good laws. We must govern our children to a fruitful future, or else we cannot compete. Or else, I repeat, we cannot compete with the big giants and corporations and the institutions and universities and the science and the grants and the contracts that rely on our scientific judgment to move our community and our country forward. It has given us a weighed burden before us to ensure that we, as the generation before them and after us, conduct the research that is needed on ACEs, adverse childhood events, and initiate proper ethical guidelines for protocols. For pregnant women, it is crucial for the safety and the health of their unborn child to ensure that we do not only support reversing Roe versus Wade, but also support the child after birth. This is a factor that I have always thought had much bias within the community of health and justice. These guidelines are simple. Let's start with three. I will do no harm to a child that is born upon us in the American community. I will avoid harmful substance to the child and its mother. I will uphold their rights and the rights of all others, regardless of the color of their skin. I will ensure that we provide the highest quality care. We will ensure that the women and children have autonomy to choose that care. It is simple. It is a simple vow. It is a simple task. It is a simple dedication that we all can do, not only as healthcare providers, but as policymakers and as simple citizens of the public of the United States of America. I'm telling you this, it is essential to respect children, to allow them to develop on their own, to allow them to achieve their milestones by making sound decision-making, regardless of their cultural background, to ensure that decision-making, regardless of background, is regarding the care and the protection of that child and its family. There's so much more to this than I can ever imagine. As a provider, as a doctor of biopsychosocial science, as a biomedical major, I'm telling you, healthcare professionals should know about cultural and religious women decisions and implement those measures every day as a conscious, intentional framework of delivering that cultural competent care. Cultural and religious significance in healthcare can make a world of a difference in each and every health outcome rate in the Black and Brown community in maternal health. There's an impact all across the decision making in patient care and patient engagement. But what I will say is, patients who are of Black and Brown communities suffer when compared to their white counterparts. Women of diverse communities and backgrounds, they may have different views in pregnancy, which are not upheld at the bedside. And that belief itself, for example, Black women deserve the right to have their advocates, to have their families at the bedside, and not limited to just their fraternal partners, if that's the case. Statistics have shown that Black women are the most married women within the United States of America, which was very, very different in the past. We have made strides So let's continue to increase that strive by allowing us, brown and black women, to voice their opinion and to incorporate and integrate those medical interventions that allow us to choose our cultural background as the foundation of our medical healthcare decision making. I believe that some cultures that are pregnant may have neutral processes, and we should uphold those as well. But what I do fear the most as a biomedical researcher and as a doctor is the interference of those decision makings based on implicit bias. In contrast, I want all my viewers out there to consider their view on medical interventions. If you are a provider, I want you to understand that you and I are in the same shoes. And I support your medical decision because I, too, had to go through all those years of training. But what I want to challenge you is to understand the necessity of safe delivery and what it means to that mother. And incorporate it. Incorporate the religious aspect. Incorporate our medical procedure and treatment guidelines. But most importantly, understand most importantly that healthcare providers have one vow, and that is to do no harm. I understand that providers must have a cultural understanding. But due to many, many beliefs and variety of beliefs in our country, which is why we are the most beautiful country, is that we can provide that care safely. With all the innovation, technology, and advances, we can provide that care to not only the white counterparts of black and brown mothers, but we can provide that care to all maternal mothers of every kind, even that of those who are transgender. I believe that there must be a trust in our health system. The mistrust must be eliminated. We should have zero tolerance for mistrust within maternal health care and within our health systems. Due to the historical mistreatment of our patients of brown and black students and mothers, we need to set a precedence that the natural remedies must be an initiative or alternative factor if we can deliver safely. The importance of involving the family, I reiterate again, the importance of involving the family in decision making and healthcare providers must be an awareness of all providers, and we need to approach it with sensitivity. We believe that the adequate care here in maternal health should consider the differences in healthcare decisions amongst the systematic racism and structural racism decision making frameworks. We as providers should stand against discrimination. We as providers should stand against discrimination. We as patients should know our rights. And we as a community will stand up for what is right. I am Dr. Kaywana Jeffer Williams. This is Well Connect. Welcome to Holism in Politics.